Well, good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milton. I'm really glad that you're here today as we continue walking through the scripture that we find in 1 Samuel, and particularly looking at the study of David, the boy, the man, the king. Before we jump into scripture, we'll be in 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to ask you to help me recite our family declaration. And it's not for the sake of reciting something. It's for the sake of reminding us that God's word is our authority. It must be our final authority in everything in life. Just right there, people are like all worried about an election. And I just read, the government will continue to rest on his shoulders. Right? It is and must remain our final authority in everything in life. So if you'll help me, here we go. It's on the screen. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. If you have a copy of the Bible or your electronic version, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 4. The words will also be on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse number 4. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Whoa. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. There's the king and all the king's men. What are they? Terrified, shaking in their boots. Now let's just jump down for the sake of seeing where we're at, who we're talking about. Look at verse 32. Here comes skinny, scrawny teenage David. He says, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." A clean-shaven boy squats near a creek, and he's looking for a rock. Actually, he's looking for 5 stones. I wonder why 5. I mean, if he were to look at his reflection in the water, he'd see a handsome young fella. History tells us that he has such beautiful eyes, the eyes that could capture the breath and hearts of the Hebrew maidens. His hair was the color of copper. His skin was ruddy and tan from hours in the sun. But he's not looking at his reflection. He's looking for rocks. 5 rocks. I wonder why 5. But he's looking for these rocks, the kind that will fit in a shepherd's pouch, the kind that will set firmly in the palm of his hand. You know, it would have been cool. What if I would have brought a sling today? Wouldn't that have been cool? We could have seen what actually David did, you know, to beat Goliath. And I could have went out in the parking lot and grabbed a rock or two and put it in the sling and kind of gave it a little fling. Definitely not a sermon to fall asleep in, y'all. No. Right. But he's looking for stones. 5 stones. I wonder why 5. Why not 10? Why not 2? But for whatever reason, he keeps looking until he has 5 stones. So what does this have to do with you and me? What does this have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, let's begin looking at David and his giant, Goliath. You see, while David is squatted down near the creek searching for 5 stones, Goliath is on the other side of the valley staring. and only pure disbelief keeps him from laughing his head off. I mean, remember who we're talking about here. Goliath is this giant, 9 feet 9 inches tall. That's just a smidge shorter than an NBA basketball rim. He's huge. His biceps are bursting. His thigh muscles ripple. He wears a size 52 coat. Extra long. His hat size is 20. And twice a day, for 40 days, this poster child for the Iron Asylum gym comes strutting in his arrogance and his huge arms and legs. And he taunts the nation of Israel, the army of Israel. He's like, come on, send me somebody. We all don't need to get involved in this fight. Just send someone to fight me. Mano a mano, one on one, winner takes all. You send one person. If that person beats me, we will all be your slaves. But if I beat him, you become our slaves. Now keep this in mind. David just arrived today, right? Just this morning. I mean, this has been going on for 40 days with Saul and all of, and Saul and David's brothers in the army. They've been going at it for days. But today was the first day that David's been here because his daddy sent him with bread and cheese to deliver to his older brothers at the war front. And it's while he's coming in, bringing food for his brothers, that he hears this giant taunting the Israelite army and talking smack about his God. And it's at this moment that David's like, no, not on my watch. I'll fight him. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. He picked up 5 smooth stones. Wonder why 5. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. King Saul, brave man that he is, hasn't done anything. Right? They're shaking in their boots. And David's like, I'll go get him. So Saul is watching this, and he gulps. I mean, this is like a little ankle biter poodle going up against a Rottweiler. Like, this is not going to end well. Goliath is this growling, bloodthirsty bunch of hoodlums. You know, Goliath and his thugs, they've all got do-rags, barbed wire tattoos on their biceps. They've all got BO. And here comes skinny, scrawny teenage David. As a matter of fact, in verse 43, Goliath says, am I a dog? He roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? He's like, this is almost insulting. This is the best you got. I said, send me someone. I said, send me a man. Look what you're doing. What am I? What is this? Right? Goliath is almost insulted that it's David to come challenge him. What odds would you give David to be victorious over Goliath? I mean, hopefully you probably already read your homework and you read the rest of the story and you see that David does defeat Goliath. But let's, for a moment, pretend that you didn't do your homework. You did, though, right? Let's just pretend that you didn't, and you didn't know how the story went. What chance would you give skinny, scrawny teenage David against 9 foot 9 inch bulking bicep Goliath? David is like a toothpick. Goliath is a tornado. David's like a little scooter. Meep, meep. Goliath is an 18-wheeler. Right? I mean, what odds do you give him? Probably better odds than you'd give one of his grandsons. Great, great, several times removed grandsons. Another Bethlehem-born shepherd. He also faces his giant. But unlike David, He's not looking for rocks. He's been buried behind one. And this descendant of David, Jesus Christ, is facing the giant of death. The Goliath of the cemetery has claimed its greatest trophy, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus lies in a tomb, dead. He's not sleeping. He's dead. He's not comatose. He's dead. The soldiers made sure of that. I mean, don't you know that the disciples hoped against all hope that he was still alive? But they sensed no pulse. They saw no movement. And so they did with Jesus what one does with a dead man. Matthew chapter 27, in verse 59, it says, Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. I mean, seriously, David had more reason to hope to be victorious over Goliath, this 9-foot-9 giant, than Jesus did to be victorious over death. I mean, yes, skinny, scrawny teenage David, but at least he's alive. Jesus is dead. From all outward appearances, game over, right? No one gave David a chance to be victorious over his enemy Goliath. No one gave Jesus a chance to be victorious over his enemy death. And I'd say no one gives you a chance to be victorious over the giant that you face. So today I want to talk to you about you and your giant. Now, the giants that you and I face, they're not Philistines. They're probably not 9-foot-9-inch giants. And they probably don't wear armor. But those giants still cast long shadows, don't they? Shadows of doubt, chemotherapy, divorce, miscarriage, overdue bills, overdrawn bank accounts, the husband who won't come home, the wife who won't come to her senses. You know, as we think about it, the giant that David faced, the giant that Jesus faced, probably has some similar characteristics of the giants that you and I face. Really simple, couple thoughts. Number one, giants always dominate the landscape. Giants always dominate the landscape. Look at verse 16 of our text. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. You can't ignore your giants, can you? I mean, Goliath looked down on everybody and everybody looked up at him. He twirled that 25-pound spear like a cheerleader twirls a baton. People went to sleep fearing him. They woke up hearing him. In the case of Jesus, is similar. Doubt. Hopelessness. I mean, think about this. Not a single disciple on that very first Easter morning woke up going, today's the day! Today is the resurrection day! Praise God! Hallelujah! Amen! Right? No. It was over. It's over. The women went to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus. They didn't go out there to find an empty tomb. They went out there to anoint the dead body of Jesus. By all outward appearances, it was over. Giants dominate our landscape as well. Many times, whatever that giant is that you face or have faced or will face, many times it's going to be the first thought you think of when you wake up in the morning. And it might be that last thing you think about when you go to bed at night. And what's more, number two, giants rob us of hope. Giants rob us of hope. Is there anything more hopeless than a grave? I mean, we don't go to cemeteries to be encouraged usually, right? No one goes around walking around looking at headstones to find inspiration. The grave is the ultimate picture of defeat and death and hopelessness. In the words of one disciple in Luke chapter 24 and verse 21, and now you hear see a word that's bold, I want you to say that really loud with me, okay? We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Do you hear it? We had hoped, but hope is gone. We had hoped that he was, but it's obvious he wasn't. There was no hope left. They had their hopes, but they had all vanished. It was over. Similar words were probably spoken about 1,200 years earlier with Goliath and Saul, his troops. I mean, they were terrified. They had lost all hope. There they were every morning and every evening, shaking in their boots, terrified in their tents, not willing to go out. Goliath had one aim, and that was to destroy the Hebrew people from the face of the earth. That was his whole aim. Can I tell you something? Your giant has the same aim. Your giant wants to hold back any joy, any peace, any rest, any comfort. He wants to rob you of all joy. He wants to rob you of peace. He wants to rob you of sleep. He wants you to be terrified and consumed all day, every day. So the question is, what do you do? What do you do when you experience that? What do you do when you reach the point where your giant is staring you head on? Well, I suggest you do what David did. Stoop down in the creek bed and find yourself 5 smooth rocks. The kind that can render a giant defeated. And why 5? I think I know why. You see, if you don't know this about me, the story of David is one of my favorite in all of Scripture. I just love, for me it's helpful. I just love the idea that there's this guy that can screw up so many times in so many ways and still be known as a man after God's own heart. He proved that God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. I love the story of David. I have read and reread and studied some more the story of David. And in this study, I think I have found 5 things that David did that allowed him to become victorious, not only over Goliath, but over a lot of other giants that he faced. And next week, I'm going to share with you what those 5 stones are, what those 5 things are that can allow you to experience that fulfilled, victorious life in Jesus that he has created for us to enjoy. But I don't want to leave you hanging for a week of what do I do. So in preparation for this, I want to leave you with just a few passages of Scripture that can provide a lot of comfort and hope and rest and joy, give us strength and boldness and power to live our lives. Again, when you see Scripture that has the words bold or whatever, I want you to read it out loud with me, okay? We're going to look at a few passages here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "For the Spirit in you is far stronger than anything." Everybody say anything. One more time. For the Spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, for I can do everything. One more time. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Y'all, we're going into, this week, whatever that looks like. The bottom line is this. We all have giants. You have a giant. You have a giant. You have a giant. I have a giant. The question is not if we have giants. We all got giants. Right? The question is, do you see your giant? Because you see your giant. Every day you wake up, you see your giant. The question isn't, do I have a giant and do I see my giant? Everybody knows they have a giant and they see their giant. The question is, do you only see your giant? Or do you see your giant slayer, Jesus Christ? Because he is with us. He is for us. He has plans to bless us and prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. He says we are blessed coming in and blessed going out. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. He is God. He is good. He's not going to leave us hanging. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not never. Right? He is with us and he is for us, and we can take these things. Question isn't if we have a giant or see our giant. The question is, do you only see your giant, or do you see your great and wonderful and powerful giant slayer, Jesus? For next week, reread 1 Samuel chapter 17 again. Read all of Ephesians 1 through 6 and John chapter 16 verse 33.